The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Kappa J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! That's why I see.
Shot, no shot, with Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shirt.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch. Watch our show, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We see what you guys are talking about, brought to you by DraftKings. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. All right, my friend, it is time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download that PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same game, live in-game parlays, and have some fun with the player props. And if you're going to play the horses, good morning, Secretariat, my friend. You use the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app that I'll be using this weekend, because you can do that in Wisconsin. Makes a lot of sense. You can gamble on horses, but you can't gamble on sports.
Now, keep in mind that this hour, it's Friday, so you know what that means. Cap and I are going to hook you up with a Hawthorne Racecourse 4-pack worth $250. When you hear this, let's have Secretary run through the studio again. When you hear this, anytime between now and 9 o'clock, we'll hook you up, and it's our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and J Hood.
Absolutely. There's vouchers in there and a whole bunch of stuff. So, by the way, Cedric said he thinks that I would go Mrs. Howell. Take that.
Because she's got money.
I don't know.
What was Mrs. Howell's name?
Lovey.
Lovey, that's right.
Lovey Howell and Thurston Howell III.
Has anyone seen Lovey? She's in the hut with Cap. Take that. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
We're good.
It's a Friday.
It is a Friday. I can't wait. I have a long weekend this weekend. I'm driving to Nashville for a wedding, so I'll be out on Monday. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the Friday energy. I always love getting out of here for the weekend, being away from you two.
Oh, that's nice to say. That's nice to say.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he's talking about you, actually, Cap, but nonetheless.
I can handle it. Take a week off, kid.
One of those trendy spots, man. Nashville, just was in Austin. Young, trendy, techie.
Have you ever been to Nashville?
Yes, with the Flames. We practiced at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I've been there.
That place is old.
I've been there.
That arena's old, man. Still got the old bleachers there. But while you're there, Shay, have some fun in Nashville.
Oh, always.
Have some fun there.
It's the best bar crawl city in America.
It is an awesome bar crawl city.
Here's Shay Norling.
All right, boys. Justin Fields has risen into being a visible franchise quarterback, but he has yet to have 200 yards passing or complete a drive in the final 2 minutes of a game, whether by hook or by crook. Sometimes that has not been his fault, but it hasn't happened. So my question, shot or no shot? We need to see one or both of these things against this Lions bottom four defense.
Go ahead.
You don't like the question?
I mean,
say it again, Shay. I liked it.
We need to see Fields go for 200 yards or finish a late touchdown drive against this bottom four Lions defense.
For me, it's the former.
200 yards?
Yeah. Is that too much to ask?
No, but
I say shot to that part of it. I don't know what the Bears are going to look like with a late 2 minute drive.
Okay,
there is a chance they could have just an enormous lead at the end of this game too. I mean, the Lions are very bad.
Okay,
I like the over 200 yards. I like that.
I've always been convinced, and I'm more convinced than ever that he is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bad team, the Bears, and the Lions are.
Yep.
Justin could throw for, make Joey really happy, 325 yards and four scores. or the Bears could lose this game. Mm-hmm. That is a top five offensive line on the other side against a really bad run defense. So I'm not going to overreact if we come in here and they lost to the Lions, and I'm not going to overreact if they beat a really bad Lions team. So I don't have to see either one, so I'll say no shot.
Man, I'd like to see him go.
I'd like to.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. How about fewer rushing yards for Fields, but him being able to connect to, say, Claypool? Because that two receptions was 13, 15 yards. That's not enough. How about target for Claypool and for him to get some yards? I'd like to see that.
I would love it, but I'm not going to be that guy that comes in Monday. I don't know. We lost to the Lions. We could lose to anybody.
Shay.
Yeah, I just to add on to this, I would just like to see, like, this defense, like the Lions defense, is very bad. I know they played well at home against the Packers. I would like to see some of those rollouts where Fields moves the pocket and ends up taking off. I'd like to see some of those end in passing attempts.
All right, let's see what happens next.
All right, there are a lot of similarities between the Bears and the Lions, both young rebuilding teams in the same division, the Lions seeing development on the defensive side of the ball while the Bears' offense trends uphill. The biggest difference between the two teams, though, the Bears have a quarterback. So my question, shot or no shot, despite the Lions' year head start on a rebuild, the Bears' rebuild is actually further along.
Yeah, that's a no shot. They've got three number one picks on their own line. Aiden Hutchinson's better than any defensive player we have.
Well, Cap, let me just tell you this. If that's how you feel about the Lions, then why are they 2-6?
I don't disagree with you.
No, I'm asking. Like, if you think that they're rebuild or they're in the right direction and the Bears are trailing behind, then why are they 2-6? The answer to the question is coaching. That's the reason. Now, I'm not saying the Lions won't be a factor next year. I'm just talking about in the moment right now. I mean, they have a lot of what you want. I'm not a big fan of the quarterback, but the bottom line is that you can give their credentials, but answer the question why they keep losing.
It might be Dan Campbell. I don't know. Sometimes teams are infected with losing, and it takes, you know, just amazing play to finally break through.
I say it's a shot, even though you could see the number one picks that the Lions have. I just like the idea that the Bears have so much cap space and draft picks available.
But they have to use that, Johnny. Like, okay, look at the Lions starters. How many guys do they have that would start on our team?
Hutchinson.
Amon-Ra, we'll start with the offense. Mm-hmm. Amon-Ra St. Brown would start on our team, mm-hmm. without a doubt. Their offensive line, basically every spot would start for us. Maybe not Tevin Jenkins' spot.
Decker, Jackson, Ragnow, Stenberg, Penei Sewell.
Ragnow starts at center for us. Penei Sewell starts at right tackle for us. Taylor Decker starts at left tackle for us. They got a lot of talent up there. So there's a bunch of guys that would start there. Defensively, I can promise you Aiden Hutchinson's a better player than anyone we have.
Correct.
We would love to get an Aiden Hutchinson in the draft this year.
You agree with that, Shay?
Not yet, but I think the talent, the upside, yes.
Jeff Okuda? Jeff Okuda was the third pick in the draft.
He's not good. He's very bad. That's been a horrible draft pick. You can't use him. That's not good. He almost lost his job to Will Harris. Will Harris is a safety.
I would say their rebuild is ahead of ours simply because of the number of number one picks they have. But a year from now, if we draft intelligently and they spend all that money, mm-hmm. we could absolutely soar right past them.
I think in this offseason we'll
soar. And we got Justin and they don't.
I think in this offseason I could see the Bears soaring past the Detroit.
Agreed. Because if the Bears lose this game, which I'm not saying they will, mm-hmm. if they do, we're in last.
And by the way, when I say that, what does that really mean? It's the world's tallest little guy when I say that, because that's still third place.
Correct. The Lions win, they're in ahead of us in the division.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Shay?
So Alan Williams spoke about the immersion of a Bears undrafted rookie, Jack Sanborn. I know we love that name on this show.
Oh, Jack Sanborn.
All right, Eddie, calm down.
Oh! Oh!
You're smarter than that, Eddie.
Wait, no, I'm not.
Take that, Eddie. Where are you, buddy?
All right, so Alan Williams was singing Jack Sanborn's praises.
Jack Sanborn. Oh, he's the All-American. Oh, the jersey sales. The look.
the hair.
Hoodie, just wait for the question. You're going to yell at me. With the way this defense operates, we all know all Sanborn really needs to do is keep the ball in front of him and make tackles. And the money that was earmarked.
Why don't you do this in an English accent? You could play the role of Bearlissimo on the show.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the money that was earmarked for Roquan can potentially be used on the pass rush. Now, Jack Sanborn got his first start as a result of the Roquan trade. He had 7 solo tackles. Oh. So my question, shot or no shot, if the Bears can build a successful pass rush for next season, Jack Sanborn can actually be a suitable replacement for Roquan.
I don't know that yet. I got to see more.
Come on, Cap. It's Jack Sanborn. Come on.
I don't know that yet.
You know that's what you want.
Roquan led the NFL in tackles multiple. He was leading when we traded him. He led it last year. He's been a, second or third team All-Pro.
Cap.
This is an undrafted rookie who's played in 9 NFL games.
Cap.
Can we just pump the brakes a little bit?
Cap.
Hoodie wants to smoke a cigarette every time he says the name Jack Sanborn.
Come on. He's what?
A suburban kid went to Wisconsin, grew up a Bears fan.
Yes. That's what you
want. It's a great story. I'm not denigrating him.
But that's what you want, isn't it? Isn't that what the audience wants? Cap.
Right. He's a local kid.
Cap.
He's Big Ten. He's... But, I mean, let's just pump the brakes.
It's a shot!
He's ready to...
It's a shot!
He could replace
Roquan. The Georgia man himself is telling you it's a shot.
It's a shot, Cap! Cap!
Yeah, I'm going to wait to pass judgment there.
Cap. It's what you want. It's Jack Sanborn.
I am going
Cap,
to.
He's the next Urlacher. I'm just telling you.
Wow. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I love it, though, man. You got to have a. You talk about for marketing. If he's something, Cap, oh my God. Seriously, Human Fields? Be a great 1-2 punch. The marketing in that?
Oh my God. I mean, it is unbelievable. Oh. 9 games in from his undrafted free agency, can he be the replacement for Roquan Smith?
And the replacement for
Does the
for
question
Urlacher.
Say more about Sanborn, or does it say more about Roquan?
Roquan was a stud. Let's be fair here.
I agree. But he plays a position that's not highly valuable, and what he did was not especially impactful. If you really look at some of the metrics.
He plays a position that people around here seem to think is not highly valuable.
People around the NFL also think that.
Well, not the Ravens.
He makes a couple of tackles.
Yeah, they gave up a 2nd-round pick.
A cap.
I don't think they're giving up like a... They wouldn't have picked him number 8 in the draft. Cap.
Somebody's going to pay that guy a lot of money.
Sanborn?
We didn't. And I wouldn't... No.
Might get someone fired.
It might.
Sanborn?
Might win someone a Super Bowl, too. I don't know. And I wouldn't have given him the $20 million. Let's be clear here. But I would have paid him well.
But you know who the Bears are going to play. Like you don't want to pay Roquan Smith, I understand it. But you know where that money's going to be allocated to. You know that, right? Where they're going to allocate their money.
Yeah. The front 7 defensively and getting pieces on the O-line and the receiving room for Justin.
And Jack Sanborn.
You know what? Why don't you just see if you can go right to franchise tag right now? Jack, I know you're undrafted free agent, but... We think you're just the cat's meow. He's $50 million.
I hope he's the guy because that's a great story. Local kid, I think that'd be awesome. Shay,
I got one more. It's very quick if you want to get to it, but we're up against it.
Sorry, man. Got to take a break. Coming up,
we'll do it when we come back.
We will do.
Well,
the picks.
We'll do the picks.
We'll do the picks.
All right,
you get
then
your picks.
Say it. Just say it. Say it.
Well, coming up next, we have Courtney Cronin at 8:35, but then the picks. Don't forget, we have the picks coming up, college and pro. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Wow.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to take a look at our college and pro picks for this weekend on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. We're with you till 10. Then we'll crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah at 10 o'clock. Carmen and Yurko They will be at Moretti's on Olmsted Street in Chicago. So Moretti's in Chicago in Edison Park. Waddle and Sylvia from 2 to 6. Then it's Tyler and Meller from 6 to 8 into Freddie and Fitzsimmons from 8 to midnight right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Time to take a look at our picks. Cap, you're in the lead, 40-42 on the season. Shea is 39-43. Charlie is 38-44. Me, picking up the rear, 36-46.
This is awful. I mean, is truly awful for all of us.
You're all better than that, Hoodie.
Well, some of those picks weren't mine.
Cap, you're in the lead at 40-42. What are we doing?
I mean, it's tough, man.
This is abysmal.
It's tough.
It's like the NFC West when it was like 10 years ago.
It's tough. But here's the thing. Let's make sure you get this edict in now. Cap, when you go on vacation, put your picks in.
I'm going to do my own picks.
That's all right. That was my mistake when I went to Texas and had Connor just pick blue or red for my picks. Awful.
He picked Michigan State just to suck up to me. That was one of the good ones, though.
That won't happen again. All right. Let's take a look at it. Again, once again, looking at these games. Once again, culturally biased. Not enough college for me, but go ahead. All right, Jay.
Well, there's only three top 25 matchups this weekend, so I made sure we got those three ranked matchups in. And this one I'm sure everybody cares about out of the American Athletic Conference tomorrow. Number 22, UCF in New Orleans at number 19. Tulane, the Green Wave, a 1.5-point favorite. Fun stops here. The Golden Knights go in and win outright. UCF.
I think it's a slight win for Tulane. And actually, by the way, College Game Day should be in Tulane, and they're not. I don't know who'd show up, but they should be at College Game Day.
Believe it's in Austin. Go to Tulane. There's going to be five people there.
I'm going to say Tulane wins it. Charlie?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tulane here. They've been an awesome story. They've been a really fun story. I'm going to ride that one.
So, I love it.
I mean, I don't know a lot about either of these teams.
That hasn't stopped you before.
So, I'm going to take the home team and lay the point.
What about the coaching? I know you know all the coaches.
I have no idea who's coaching either.
Gus Malzahn coaches for UCF. Does that help you?
I love Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I'll take Tulane.
I usually lean that way, too. I just think that's a good spot. Number 25, Washington and Michael Penix Jr.
Mm-hmm.
in Outzen Stadium, taking on Bo Nix, home Bo Nix and the Oregon Ducks, laying 13.5. I'm swallowing the points. Give me Oregon.
No kidding. I think Penix keeps it close, actually. Oregon wins the game outright. Charlie, for your Oregon Ducks, I know Oregon has been fun to watch for me. They'll win the game, but I could see Washington keeping it closer than 13.5.
Yeah, I don't want to ignore the fact that Shea called it Outzen Stadium.
I heard
it's Outzen Stadium. Outzen,
yeah,
Shea.
I don't know. I was exaggerating the AU for the Midwestern.
You know what?
Folk.
But you know what? Give Shea a break. He's from Detroit.
Oregon.
There's a certain accent there. Him, Jalen Rose, Judge Mathis. They all have the same type of tenor, so I forgive it.
It's the lack of an accent. That's the problem.
Exactly. It's very light. Do you notice that, Cap?
I do.
Cap's from Michigan? Yeah, I get it. So you're going what, Oregon?
Yeah, I'm taking Oregon here. Bo Nix has just been so much fun to watch. It's frankly been a revelation. Give me the Ducks here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Washington. Michael Penix Jr. He can make plays with his feet. Washington's going to roll in, and I think the Washington Huskies actually keep this close.
All right, Shay.
Number 4 TCU, a touchdown dog in Austin at number 18 Texas. My Horned Frogs have done me so well this season. Good night, TCU. Give me Texas. I'm laying the points.
That's a tough game to bet. Not sure which way to go on that. I circle TCU. I don't feel good about it. I think TCU keeps it close. Texas wins the game. TCU keeps it close.
This is a big spread for a team that's ranked number 4 in the country. I frankly think that, I just think their luck's going to run out with TCU. I think Vegas knows something here. I'm taking Texas.
Yeah, I'm a Sark guy. I like Sark.
Mm-hmm.
He's come back from the depths of depravity to coach Texas very well. I'm going to lay in the 7. Sleep tight, TCU. Your championship dreams are over.
All right, that's the college slate. Let's get on to the Shield. Seahawks in Tampa Bay taking on the resurgent Buccaneers and a victorious Tom Brady. The Bucs laying 2.5, but Geno Smith is a freight train, man. Nothing stops that kid. Give me Pete Carroll and the Seahawks and that wristband.
I like the Bucs to win the game, and I like the Bucs at 2.5. I do want to ask you, Shay, do you find something suspicious about that number? Would that be your number?
You go, I got saw you three? A dollar. Take it inside the field goal. I got you a dollar. They'll win by a field goal, no problem. It's that commercial hoodie when they put the dollar on the fishing rod.
Yeah.
Throw it out there. Hey, it's there for you. And then you take it away.
Yeah.
I like Seattle.
All right. Charlie?
Yeah, our guy, the Fat Jack, said yesterday that this is the spot where you've got to take Tampa Bay. I'm just going to rely on him for this one. Give me the Bucs.
Yeah, I think the Bucs actually win this one fairly comfortably. I think Snorling will be curled up in the fetal position when this one's down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Bucs win it by a touchdown at least.
All right, Vikings in Buffalo taking on the Bills. Who knows what's going on with Josh Allen's
elbow? Sounds like he's not going to play.
I know, it's a little worrisome. Am I still taking the Bills? I am. Bills minus 3.5.
And the backup for the Bills is?
That would be Case Keenum, former Viking quarterback.
Revenge game.
Give me the Vikings. I'll take that all the way. Vikings are going to outright win the game, especially if Josh Allen does not play. Can he win with his legs? Yes, but he needs his arm to throw. I could see with the Bills being 6-2, does he need to play this game? Doesn't. He doesn't.
He's not playing.
Vikings will win the game outright.
What?
Yep. Charlie?
Yeah, I'm with Hoodie here. The Bills are just so banged up in positions that are really important for them, especially quarterback. I'm taking the Vikings here. I think this is going to be a big day from Justin Jefferson and their ground game.
Yeah, I think the Bills flex their muscles, and just like Steve Fuller did with the 85 Bears, Bills win this one comfortably. They dispatch the Vikings and send them tail between their legs. Back to Minneapolis, Kirk Cousins will not only not be shirtless on the plane, they'll be in a freaking parka after spending all that time on the ground at Orchard Park.
Did you say Steve Fuller? Yeah. I think you need to leave. Steve Fuller, goal number 4. I'm just telling you.
Just telling
you. I think it's time for you to go.
Shay.
Cleveland being some snowbirds. They'll be on the road in Miami this weekend to take on the Dolphins. 83 and sunny on Sunday. I'll take Miami, making you sit in the sun.
I like Miami. I think after what we saw last week, I think they have a nice rhythm offensively, right? I believe so. At the Browns, there's no shot at the Browns. I just think the Dolphins are at least a touchdown, 6 points better than the Browns.
Yeah, the Dolphins' offense is just so unbelievably explosive. I think this might actually be a really big day for Jeff Wilson Jr. on the ground. Give me the Dolphins.
Give me the Browns. They may win the game outright. They're going to cover the 3.5. Nick Chubb will be churning up yards with his legs.
So you don't like the Dolphins' defense based on what you saw last week, right?
Their defense is okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going Browns.
Okay.
Saints, a 1.5-point road favorite in Pittsburgh. This is a spot where, look, the Saints are no good. Andy Dalton's no good. The defense has been no good. And Tomlin, as a home underdog, is great. I'll take the Steelers.
I like the Steelers as well. Is Mitch playing?
No.
Come on, man. This is a Mitch game right here. 300 yards. Bam! Touchdown.
Not happening.
Running around the... It's going to be Pickett, right?
Yeah.
I'll swallow hard. I like the Steelers.
Charlie.
Yeah, I just can't believe the Saints would be favored on the road. Give me the Steelers. I love Tomlin as a home dog.
Steelers are about as bad as Tracy Butler's forecast for the weekend. Give me the Saints to win this one by 10.
Andy Dalton, huh?
Yep.
Running the football with Kamara?
Yep.
Okay. A couple of touchdowns for Olave, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. All right, Shay.
All right, Chargers getting a touchdown, 7 full points at San Francisco. I can't get behind the idea that the Niners are 7 full points better than the Chargers. I'll take the Chargers to cover.
I also like the Chargers in this one. Would not surprise me if the Chargers won the game, quite frankly. Charlie?
I think the Chargers are such a mess right now. I'm going to go with San Francisco here.
I'm going to look at the quarterback matchup. Jimmy's played well. Justin Herbert's much better. Give me the Chargers in 7.
Shay.
Cowboys laying 4.5 on the road in Lambeau, taking on the Green Bay Packers, who are off a weird loss to Detroit. Shouldn't this line be much more than 4.5? Doesn't it feel like the Cowboys should maybe be favored by a touchdown? Sums up here. I'm taking the Packers.
Boudreaux?
The Packers win the game against Dallas. They win the game.
That'd be amazing.
They win the game. And I know that ESPN will be blown up if the Cowboys lose.
Aaron's back.
Yeah.
Wasn't gone anywhere.
The Packers win the game. And so I'll take the Packers.
Yeah. Bev? Yeah. This is tough. I'm kind of with Shea where Vegas seems to know something here. But you know what? Give me the Cowboys. I think they're rolling right now. And the Packers, again, are doing the opposite.
You know what? But Shea's got it right. If it cap your line for this one, it's 4.5 here in Vegas. Wouldn't it be 6?
It would be like 6. 5.5, 6.
Okay.
Give me the Packers.
Boy, if they lose.
It'll be great, man.
6 in a row.
That'll be a Bears victory Monday if the Packers lose.
Well, it might be anyway, because the final game on our slate, the lowly Detroit Lions, they're taking on the Bears in Soldier Field. Lions in their last 38 possessions. 5 touchdowns. Lions in the second half over their last 4 games outscored 57-7. You can forget about fighting for Dan Campbell. They ain't fighting for anybody. Give me the Bears.
Bears. Charlie?
Bears, dude.
Game concerns me greatly.
You don't like the line?
Outstanding offensive line for Detroit. Ability to run the football with Williams and a banged up, but he's playing DeAndre Swift. Amon-Ra St. Brown will be the best receiver on the field. Give me the Lions and the points.
Think the Lions will win the game?
They could. I'm not saying they will. I think the Bears squeak it out. Late field goal, might get a push.
Like the under? 48.5?
Probably not. I will not bet this game other than like a same game.
No, I'm just two friends talking. Do you think that they will be over 48.5? Do you think it'll be that kind of shootout offensively like we saw last week?
I'm going to say no, but if I had to.
Oh, Governor?
Yeah. If I had to, I would play the over, but I am not going to.
Mm-hmm.
So. Right now, I'd have to say probably get a push, and the Bears win on a late Cairo Santos field goal. But I think the Lions are a live dog.
Farmer.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
All right, that's our picks right here
on
Chicago's All for Sports coming up next.
Right now, I'd have to say no.
Now, Courtney Cronin, we can't say no to. That's coming up next as we find out the latest on the Bears on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rock and roll.
Cap is rock. No, I'm roll and you're rock.
You're rock, I'm roll.
I don't think so.
Captain it's a football Hood. Friday.
It is on Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. She joins us here on Captain Jay Hood. Good morning, Courtney.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. So, double C.
How similar or how different are the Bears and the Lions? Because both teams are trying to rebuild. How similar are they?
You know, it's a great like jump off point for them, especially considering the favorite at home this week. And it's a good measuring stick, even though this is a Lions team that you look at on paper. Yeah, they beat the Packers last week, and they're a team that usually gives up about 32 points a game, and the Packers are completely disjointed. But they're probably more similar to the Bears right now, just in terms of the overall like where they are in their rebuild than people would think. And I know that you're going to look at that and say, well, you know, they look like a train wreck and the Bears look like they're putting things together offensively. Like, they've been hit with a lot of injuries. They've been dealing with kind of the ups and downs of the season the same way that the Bears are. Obviously, the Bears have the advantage at quarterback. I don't think anybody's going to put that up for debate. But the Lions have done some good things with the Packers last week, especially in the red zone. I think defensively they are turning a corner. But it's going to be a good measuring stick game for the Bears to see, you know, second time that they're favored at home. It was the same against the Houston Texans. If they can use that high-powered offense to get going again and try to keep something going here.
So I look at this game, Courtney, and I watched the All-22 from the other day. The Lions' offensive line is top five in the league. They're loaded. They got three number one picks up there. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown. They have the ability to run against a Bears run defense that's not very good. Those factors concern me going into this game. I think there are people around here, it's the Lions, they suck, we're going to kill them. I think the Bears can win the football game, but I think this is a tougher challenge. What do you think?
Yeah, especially considering some of the issues we know that this team has, and they're admitting that their pass rush is a big struggle right now. You know, the key to victory, again, will be Justin Fields and his legs. This is the team that gives up the third most rushing yards to quarterbacks through 9 weeks. And so I think that for, you know, they're more evenly matched than people think. And I know that that's hard to, you know, fathom because the Lions have just been, you know, a train wreck the last few years. And just when it felt like they were starting to get things to click, you know, they lost a lot of games. And so I tend to think that you're right about that, because this offensive line, they've built this thing. This was not a one-year wonder for them. But they started building this back in 2018 when they took Frank Ragnow, and they continued to add pieces up front. And that's probably a good model for success for the Bears to try to follow that and see if they can, you know, eventually fall in place with that same sort of philosophy of how you build up front. But they have a pretty consistent running game. This is a Chicago defense that has been kind of all over the place against the run. But fortunately, I think for Chicago, the speed is not there. The same speed that the Lions, that the Dolphins had last week. But that's something that you're not going to be running into, where you're running into cushion issues and playing kind of a softer shell, and then you don't get off on a blitz. Like, I think that there's a lot that they can take away from the game last week to know that this is, you've got to play, you've got to scheme against this team differently defensively, which it all starts up front with pressuring the quarterback. Obviously, Jared Goff is not Tua, and that's a good thing for this Bears team, but in that same vein, you've got to pressure the quarterback more than you were doing before.
I was wondering, you know, when you look at the Lions coaching staff, Courtney, all of the coaches are former players. I don't know if I've seen that in the NFL before, and I just, as a talking point to you, I just wanted to say, like, you know, I think you have to have a mixture on your coaching staff, because there are some, maybe some former players that probably say, man, I don't know how come this player can't execute this. I did this when I played. That's got to be somewhat difficult maybe for young players when you have a former player as your coach. I was supposed to say across the board.
Yeah, no, it's a good observation, because obviously the Dan Campbell aspect is that he's supposed to be a player's coach and he's, you know, super blue collar and rah-rah, gets the guys going, and certainly that, you know, factored into where the record is right now. I think that, you know, it's interesting because it's kind of what we're seeing in Indianapolis with Jeff Saturday being hired as a former player despite not having coaching experience. Obviously, Dan Campbell had been an NFL coach for a while, but I think that there's a good mix to it, because you want to be able to relate to players in ways that they can understand, like, this person has walked in my shoes. They understand it. You also don't want them to be so far removed of playing in a completely different era that they won't truly understand what you're going through. But I don't know if there's any other team constructed like that in the NFL right now. I think the Lions are kind of the anomaly there. I don't know if that's the reason why things aren't working. I tend to think that it all starts with quarterback for the Lions, on top of the injuries that they have, that they've been dealing with. But they're in a perennial state of a rebuild. So, like, I feel like the Fords have been trying for a while now to, like, throw something at the wall and see if anything will stick. And their idea with Dan Campbell was, this guy has interviewed for these types of positions before. You know, I remember when I was in Minnesota, he interviewed for one of the offensive coordinator position. Like, his name has been out there. And so he clearly brings that sort of juice that you want to a coaching staff to get guys fired up and get guys to buy in, because this is a franchise that has dealt with losing for a very long time. And I don't know if the traditional head coach that might have played in college, might have had some experience, but has been a coach since, you know, the day they really became an adult. I don't know if that always works, but there have been some good signs. I mean, last year I remember that the Vikings game where they won on the final drive, then they played the Cardinals at home and they beat them, and they beat Arizona. They're like, they played hard for Dan Campbell. I think it's more of a talent, a severe lack of talent, especially that quarterback spot for Detroit, than anything else.
Courtney, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. Get a little rest and relaxation, because then you crank it up with game film study starting again on Monday.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Be good.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago as we talk to her. And by the way, every time she's on with us, it's brought to you by Wintrust. We got our Big Ten Pick'em Challenge.
Yeah, we had a good week last week.
Did we?
We did.
Yeah. How did that Ohio State thing work against Northwestern?
That one didn't go well.
You guys kicked Black and Abdallah's ass. That's
we
all
took
I'll
the
say.
Points, though.
Did we?
Yeah, I talked you into that.
Yeah. Tall grass, wind, rain.
Yes.
Okay, I don't remember.
We took the 38.5. We beat them pretty handily. Didn't we beat them by two games at least?
We were 4-3. They were 2-5.
We whooped their ass. 4-3.
4-3?
Yeah.
They were 2-5.
Yeah.
I thought we did better than that. Okay.
Well, we'll see if we can do better next on Cap and J Hood. Here's David Kaplan.
Apt ABT, your number one destination for the home, is proud to offer the latest innovations from LG and their new C2 OLED Evo TVs. With an updated processor, brighter colors, a sleeker design, and a host of gaming features, this is the ultimate TV for your home theater system. View movies the way the director intended with filmmaker mode, or fully immerse yourself in the action with Dolby Vision IQ and Dolby Atmos Audio. For free and home delivery, professional installation, and complete satisfaction, shop at Apt ABT. Pleasing people since 1936.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and J Hood Show.
Time for the Friday Folder here on ESPN 1000. Here's Shane Norley. Shane?
All right, boys, all the things we didn't get to this week, there's quite a bit because we were busy. I want to start with something that happened last weekend that was intended for a worst weekend segment we did not get to this week either. The city of Philadelphia lost two championships in one day. The first city in American sports history to lose two major championships in one day. The Philadelphia Union lost the MLS final to Los Angeles in the afternoon, and that same night, the Phillies lost the World Series to the Astros.
Think about that. Two in one night. What a bunch of losers.
Awful.
Cry, Eagles, cry. That'll be the next one.
That'll be the next one.
How about that?
I do not think they're winning the Super Bowl. I do not. I don't even think they're getting there.
ESPN 1000, hello.
Hello, this is Johnny from Buffalo Grove. How are you?
John, what about that? Philadelphia, terrible, right?
Oh, I love that, actually.
All right, what else do you got?
We'll get back to you, John. What else, Shay?
Shay?
I didn't expect that. That was funny. All right, California. Cap, you'll love this. Resoundingly rejects sports betting. 70% of voters said no to legalized sports betting. 83% said no to mobile sports betting.
Yeah, apparently the way that the statute was written has a lot to do with how it was voted on, and they're going to bring it back again down the road. I just don't get it. Why? It's free money for the state. You got the highest freaking taxes in the country. Why would you not want the free tax revenue that comes with it?
Dude, you're 100% right. I can't even, I mean, I was just in San Diego not too long ago and just looking at the, you think we have high gas prices here? Holy smokes.
Yeah.
In California?
It's insane.
So why not supplement? Okay, we're going down a business road here.
Yeah,
but the point is though is that Shay's right, you're right. Sports gambling helps states. You have a problem. You have a deficit issue in your state financially. Sports gambling helps.
Cannabis.
You turn it around.
You're telling me people aren't getting high in California? Or I think they have cannabis.
Yeah,
but the states like Wisconsin doesn't. Nobody's getting high in that state. Stop yourself,
Shay.
All right, I want to ask about the World Cup because the stories have started coming out about what's happening in Qatar. Sepp Blatter, the former FIFA president, came out last week and admitted
that
it was... Hang on
a second. I shouldn't have a last name of Blatter.
No, I can't imagine that.
Hi, John Blatter here.
I was hoping somebody would pause at that. That's a ridiculous Blatter. Last name.
Hello, Sepp Blatter here.
It is absurd.
My Blatter. Sepp Blatter.
God.
So he came out last week and admitted that it was a mistake to host the World Cup in Qatar. Huh. Flat out admitted this was a mistake. Then images from the fan village came out. So the fans will be housed in effectively storage units with no shade. There's no shade anywhere in the complex. No awnings, no tents, nothing. Just you and your storage unit.
That's just horrible.
So my question is this. This happens with every major global event, every Olympics, whether it's in Brazil or China or wherever. It's always a disaster right up until it goes off without a hitch. This World Cup, I feel like, might actually be a disaster.
Very well could. Yes.
I hope it's not. I mean, I'm not a huge World Cup guy, but I'll watch some of it.
Sure. Take the under.
Probably. But... I just don't understand why it's over there.
I mean, it's all about looking at the infrastructure first, right? What's best for the athletes? If you're going to have a World Cup, let's take a look. How's the housing? You know, what about the restaurants? What about the ambient? All of it, right? Is it safe? And you're just like, oh, we're just going to dump it here.
We'll put it in Qatar.
I mean, I'm not saying they have to be in America every time it comes around, but you could do better than that. Don't you care? You don't care.
Well, we can tell you why it's over there, too. Bribes.
That's pretty accurate, is it not?
Do you remember when they were going out trying to get... We had the World Cup here, trying to get the Olympics here.
Right.
Chicago will not participate in the next round of it. And there were freaking 30,000 people in the Daily Center like, what? What did he just say?
Why not Chicago?
After the first round, Chicago will not participate. Are we out?
Yeah.
Yep. Get out.
We thought we were going to get it done. We did not.
I'd like to be on that flight from Copenhagen back home.
Shame. Oprah.
A radio host made headlines this week when he pooped himself on the air.
Okay, you got to explain. What happened there?
There was a conversation going on. It was all in comedy, and this guy laughed so hard, he pooped himself on the air. He had to remove himself from the studio to go wash up. He came back. He said a number of paper towels didn't really help the situation, but he was fighting through it. There is audio, but it's just people laughing, and it's not really worth playing. But is that the most embarrassing place to poop yourself? It's embarrassing enough to do it. Doing it at work or on the air?
Like at work, though, only the people around you know. On the air?
That's so disgusting.
It was not Sylvie. People are starting to ask
it's if
it
not
was
Sylvie. Sylvie.
It was not Sylvie.
I did not poop myself this time, Waddle.
Was not Sylvie.
It was not Sylvie.
It was not. It's so disgusting. I guess if you're going to do it, I'd rather do it, obviously, at home. Poop yourself at home.
Yeah.
The worst place would be... at work, where people know it's you.
Like, on the air.
The smell.
Oh.
They know it's you. And people will always remember you as, like, stinky whatever.
I kind of want to push back. I can think of worse. Imagine, like, at your own wedding. Walking down the aisle. Oh, God.
Standing at the altar and you just let one go right down your suit pants.
And you're in a white tux.
You think it's just a solid thought. And all of a sudden, you got the liquid... green apple steps.
Not good.
I actually have a story of a time this happened to me, and I wonder if it's more embarrassing. I was at a supermarket with my then-girlfriend, now wife, and I told her I had to go to the bathroom. We were just trying to race through, and eventually I couldn't hold it anymore, so I'm racing to get to the bathroom, and on the way, I pooped myself and left a trail going into the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Is that more embarrassing?
You left a trail?
Ugh. Like a child.
All right, go to
it was horrible.
No. We want more.
I'm sad.
ESPN 1000, hello. Hello. That guy pooped himself.
He did.
Go ahead, Shay. You got one more?
I do have one more. The chip manufacturer Pocky has had to issue a warning because of their one chip challenge. It's supposedly the hottest chip ever made. It contains the Carolina Reaper pepper as well as a scorpion pepper. It's over 2 million Scoville units. And the challenge is it comes in one box and it's a coffin shape. And the challenge is you eat the chip and then go as long as you can without eating or drinking anything else, and then post your reaction to social media.
Okay, so can we do that? Wait, well, first, Chris and Adam, have they done that yet? Chris and Adam, have you done the one-chip challenge yet? You won't do it? Is it because of your system?
We do all that stuff.
I was just wondering. Adam's coming to a mic.
So my wife had a bunch of her students do it, and like a couple of them like threw up, and like one of them almost had to go to the hospital. Like, I don't trust that stuff. No, thank you. Like, I'll eat spicy stuff. Like, I love spicy stuff. I love like spicy Arab food and Mexican food and stuff like that. But that one is way too much.
They issued the warning because there were severe side effects. Like, people were throwing up. People needed to be in ambulances. Severe coughing. There was like stomach issues coming out of it. I think we should do it. I think the three of us should get these chips, and we'll see who can last the longest after eating
I
the
like
chip.
Spicy, but that's...
Three, all right. Boy. Charlie, you down?
Charlie, you want in? Charlie, I mean, you told me earlier when I brought this up off the air, you didn't want to do it.
When's your interview for your job, Charlie?
But I would like to be thought of as in.
Okay. What's scary is if Black and Dollar out, now I'm very concerned.
Correct, because they try anything.
Like, if they won't do it, it's like, okay, well, then maybe it's not as cool.
Yeah. We get trouble.
I'll do it for content.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Absolutely. It's a great way to die.
I'll emcee it for you guys.
The last my last breath was me having that chip. And so long, everybody, from Chicago.
So long, everybody. I'm Chicago.
We will find out about the weekend weather with Tracy Butler from ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
She better have a flak jacket on.
That'll be coming up next on Cap and J Hood. We'll find out. All right.